Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. As you would imagine, we are going to have a different kind of Monday because we are not reacting to a Chiefs game. The Chiefs had a bye week. We will talk a lot of NFL today, but just not a whole lot of Chiefs thoughts because the Chiefs didn't play this weekend. But one cool thing I'm excited to tell you guys about, that we are going to have different Chiefs content creators join us on the show today. Coming up in about 30 minutes, my guy Cole DeRoos of How About Those Chiefs is going to join us on the show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs as we are in their bye week. We're also going to talk a lot of college football. I think the race for the Big 12 has reached its conclusion. Patrick Mahomes was in Lubbock, Texas for college game day, and I think the Heisman Trophy has been decided. That is not what the public thinks. That is not what Vegas thinks, but I think we know who the Heisman Trophy winner is for this season. I'll tell you who that is in today's show as well. We got a lot to get into in today's show, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I would greatly appreciate if you did that. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. I have developed a little bit of a routine. Every Sunday at around 11:15, I go to one of the local Other Place and get myself a good breakfast. You know, they don't got gambling legal on the Missouri side yet, so I got to be in Kansas. So I go over there, I get myself a nice breakfast, have myself a nice little morning mimosa, place my bets, and get ready for an incredible Sunday of NFL action. I would highly encourage you guys to do that as well. All right, we got a lot to get into in the show today. Let's start with this. As we currently sit here, I think that we know who the five best teams are in the National Football League. Now, obviously, this list is fluid. Things can change. But if we are talking about who has been consistent this season, who has put together a resume, who do you believe in so far this season? I think the top five teams in the National Football League, they have shown themselves. This is who I think they are: New England, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Seattle, and the Rams. Now, again, things can change between now and the end of the season. An injury can happen. Maybe one of these teams fade off, and we are having a different conversation in a couple of weeks. But as we sit here and we've seen what teams have done so far this season, I think these have been the five best teams so far in the National Football League. I think they have been the five most consistent teams so far this season in the National Football League. The Rams are a very, very good team. And we have seen how, through the growth with Sean McVay, how they've changed over the last couple of years. But this is still a very explosive offense with the quarterback right now was playing like a top five quarterback in the National Football League, a team that can throw it very well, a team that is very young and athletic on the defensive side. A lot of things to like about the Rams. I actually think that Seattle is the biggest surprise in the NFC. If the Colts are going to be that in the AFC, I thought Seattle had a chance to be decent. I don't know if I thought they had a chance to be considered the best team in the NFC, and they are definitely in that conversation as the best team in the NFC. We already know about Philadelphia. At this point, they're a brand name. They've been doing it now for basically 3 years. They've done this. They went to a Super Bowl. They've won another Super Bowl. They have been one of the best teams in the National Football League this season. We don't have to spend too much time talking about Philadelphia and what they've been able to do the last handful of years. The Colts, they just continue to figure out a way to win. I understand that Jonathan Taylor is getting a lot of love, as he should, as one of the best players in the National Football League. But you want to know what really impressed me watching them yesterday? It was the drive that Daniel Jones had. I mean, this was a team that was on the brink of losing to the Atlanta Falcons. And Daniel Jones, mouth all busted up, bloody, made a couple of throws, made a couple of plays on a 3rd and 17 where you had to go down the field and get points. He runs for 15 yards and then throws the pass to Tyler Warren to get that game into overtime. And then Jonathan Taylor took over. So we have seen, if you can put the right complements of things around Daniel Jones, he can be a capable quarterback. He's shown that so far this season. That was a good win for Indianapolis and New England. We might need to start having a different conversation about this Patriots team. We know they're well coached. Drake May is playing at an MVP level. They have upgraded the talent on the offensive side. And this defense, you know, led by Mike Vrabel, has been very, very competitive. I have been thinking this entire time that the Bills kind of had that division figured out. But I think we are learning that that is not the case. In fact, I don't think the Bills are winning their division. I think New England is going to hold them off. I think New England is going to do this thing. I think they're going to win the AFC East. So some of the conversations we're having about the Patriots needs to change over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I think we'll get to that point after Thursday Night Football and they beat up on the Jets. And then they get an extended time to get back right, get back healthy. And we can kind of see where they settle in the rest of the AFC. But the team we need to be talking about is the Buffalo Bills, that had an inexplicable loss to a Miami Dolphins team that appears to be playing out the string the rest of the way. Here is Damian Woody of ESPN.
They've royally messed up their window. They've had the AFC East locked down for 6 years.
Yep.
And they have nothing to show for it. And guess what? You just mentioned it.
Yep.
Here are the Patriots. They're back again. And so you look at Josh Allen. You look at this game yesterday. You know, you heard whispers, oh, it was the Miami Dolphins. This is not a trap game. I'm sorry. Buffalo, you're not even leading the division, and it's a divisional game. You got your butts whipped against the Miami Dolphins that we had written off dead to rights.
Yep.
Fire their general manager.
Yep.
Their coach is basically out the door, and all they did was whip your behind down there in South Beach. This is not a bad game. This is more of a bad sign for Buffalo, in my opinion.
We got to start having some real serious conversations about the Buffalo Bills. The reason I play that Damian Woody audio is because I believe 95% of what he said. Championship window feels closed, seems a little premature to me, but the way that this team is currently playing, it's hard to see how they could win a championship. They can't stop the run. For a Dolphins team that doesn't have their number one wide receiver, whose quarterback threw for 173 yards and threw two interceptions, they scored 30 points against Buffalo. Devon Achane had 22 carries for 174 yards and two touchdowns. You guys said this last week, and I know the Chiefs couldn't fully take advantage of it, but that Buffalo defense is suspect. In Miami, a team who we don't think has nearly the amount of firepower that Kansas City does, was able to run up and down the field. They didn't stop anything that Miami wanted to do. They didn't stop Jaylen Waddle, who had 85 yards and a touchdown. They didn't stop Devon Achane, who had almost 220 yards from scrimmage and three touchdowns. They essentially dominated them with two offensive players. So they scored 30 points, and what has been the problem for Buffalo is they just don't have enough things. Miami did a really good job of taking away Buffalo's run offense. James Cook had 53 yards rushing. Josh Allen had 31. So if you're going to get 84 yards rushing from those two and you run for 87 as a team, so they didn't get really anything else from anybody else. And we've known this for a while. When it comes to wide receiver, they ain't got that guy. if Khalil Shakir is your best receiver, you do not have a good wide receiver room. Keon Coleman has not developed to what we thought. Dalton Kincaid went back to being who Dalton Kincaid is. Dawson Knox is the exact same way. They got Jackson Halls. They got another mid-major tight end. Just a mediocre performance yesterday from the Buffalo Bills. I can't put them in my top five. I don't think they're close to the top five right now based on what we've seen talking about consistency. And I will not let anybody talk about that being a trap game. You know what you're up against if you're the Buffalo Bills. And you went on the road and laid an egg, an absolute egg. Buffalo didn't score in the first three quarters of the game against Miami, against a team that fired his general manager, and against a team that we know is going to let their head coach go at the end of the season. That team just dusted you off when you got everything to play for. If you're the Bills, you haven't afforded the luxury of looking ahead or not taking somebody seriously in 2025. You're in a legitimate fight. Now you are the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs. So if you're not going to win your division, you put yourself in the conversation with potentially Kansas City, with the Chargers, with the Broncos, who could possibly lose their division. We'll see what happens with Pittsburgh or Baltimore. You go from being in a pool where it's just you and one other team. If you can't beat that team, you now put yourself in the mix with three or four other teams. If there is one thing we can say pretty definitively about the AFC wildcard picture at this point, somebody going to have their feelings hurt. Everybody is not winning their division, and obviously everybody is not grabbing one of those wild card spots. So I'm not here to tell you it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo, it's any of those teams, but I'm telling you that all of you can't make it. The Chargers, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Jaguars, all of these teams cannot make the playoffs as a wild card team. There's only three of those spots available, and we will find out over the next 7-8 weeks who's going to grab one of those spots and who needs to start getting ready for the NFL draft. So I've got my top five teams in the league. I think it's the Colts, Patriots, Eagles, Seahawks, and Rams. I think they've proven that so far as we are at the midway point of the NFL season based on who they've beaten, how consistent they've played so far this season. And if you're the Buffalo Bills, I've said this all season, if Buffalo squanders this, they will never live it down. This schedule was tailor-made for you to win 13, 14 games, be the one seed in the AFC, and go to the Super Bowl this year and finally break through. And you have lost to the Patriots at home. No shame in that, but you got to at least split those games in your division. And then to go on the road and not just lose to Miami on a last second Hail Mary, they beat you. No, they pummeled you. They beat you 30-13 against the Miami Dolphins, a team that at best is going to win five games this year. A really disappointing Sunday in Buffalo. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Cole DeRoos of How About Those Chiefs is going to join us on the show. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the top story right now in the National Football League. I don't even understand how Brian Daboll was allowed to come back to work. We'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Cole DeRoos of How About Those Chiefs is going to join us on the show today. We're going to have different Chiefs content creators join us on the show and give us their thoughts on the Chiefs as they are coming off their bye week and getting ready for the Denver Broncos. In the meantime, Rob, let's talk about the top story in the National Football League, which is talking about Brian Daboll. Now, forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but there is not a single person among us that thought it was going to work out this season for Brian Daboll in New York. You didn't have a lot of talent, and your quarterback options were between Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and a rookie. Now, I don't know how many people had major expectations for the Giants this year. Their over-under in Vegas was 5.5. Now, teams exceed their over-under for sure. I don't know many people that thought that the Colts could maybe be the best team in the NFL, but here we are. But the chance for the Giants was always a very low percentage chance. This is what I don't understand. And if you guys can help me with it, I would really appreciate it. 913-586-7965. Why do these teams draft a quarterback with the number 3 overall pick, number 7 overall pick, and they go into the season with a general manager who is on the hot seat? That's how they got such a high draft pick. A head coach who is also on that same hot seat, sharing it with them. And they just try to start fresh with the quarterback, knowing the moment that something goes wrong, because it's always going to go wrong, they are immediately going to fire everybody who makes the decisions. Why does this happen every single year? Did anybody think that Matt Eberflus was going to keep that job last year in Chicago? When they had the number 1 overall pick and they got Caleb Williams and you're looking at Matt Eberflus, did you guys think, you know what, this is when he turns things around? No, he's not going to turn it around. If you're going to start fresh, then start fresh. Start over. Just press reset. Why do you then spend a first-round pick on a quarterback with the head coach that you know is on a short leash and you're going to get rid of before the end of the season? Why don't you be proactive and do this from the beginning? I mean, the Giants aren't the last team to do this. We know this is going to happen. There's going to be a team next year that has Ty Simpson or Dante Moore or Mendoza, and they're going to have a lame duck head coach. This feels like something the Saints would do. Why do we do this? We knew how this was going to play itself out. Well, now we're here. Jackson Dart got hurt, which, I mean, if you follow Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, I don't know if you guys watch this or not, but they do the quarterback camp still. The Gruden that used to do the quarterback camp for ESPN, he now does for Barstool. And he was telling Jackson Dart, hey, your play style, it is going to get you hurt. You can do that at Ole Miss, and I get it. That's part of your personality. But in this league, they're bigger, stronger, and faster. So we kind of knew some of the risk when it came to Jackson Dart. You kind of knew what you were getting yourself into. Brian Daboll, who's trying to save his job, maybe tries to put him out there because you got to try to win this game. You end up losing this game, which has kind of been par for the course with you. They fire you. It's just a waste of everybody's time. NFL organizations, I beg of you, I implore of you, please stop doing this. When you start fresh next year and you hire a new general manager, in most situations, also fire the head coach. When you have the 7th overall pick and then you get a new quarterback, but your head coach is now heading into year 4 and he's never had a winning season, I'm telling you, fire him right then and there and start over. Rob, why do these teams do this? This is one of the easiest storylines to see it play itself out each and every season.
It makes no sense to me. Now, it's possible. I don't know all the inner workings of every team in the NFL. It's impossible to know that. I don't know what happens with job security and all those things. Like, for when it does happen, you have a coach, you say, hey, we're going to give you one last shot. Obviously, no one wants to be fired. No one likes for getting fired. So if you're Brian Daboll, I understand why you're quick to get to Jackson Dart. Why you, despite the injury issues, are still running Jackson Dart the way that you probably shouldn't be running Jackson Dart. And this season, he's flirted with concussion protocol a few different times. I understand that. What I don't understand is, to your point, if I'm the Mara family, if I'm whoever, and I know we're going to draft a quarterback this year in the first round, I'm firing my head coach before that draft. I just am. Look at the Titans. Why was Brian Callahan ever given an opportunity to coach Cam Ward? Why? It wasn't like the Titans were good before, you know, Cam Ward. They were the number 1 overall pick. It wasn't like they were feisty and 7-9. They traded up. Nope. I know that Bryce Young is kind of a roller coaster career. He's had some good moments, he had some bad moments. Why was Frank Reich given the shot to ever coach him? You should just, when you clean house, clean house.
100%.
Now, I imagine these GMs are the ones making the decisions, and these GMs are not going full house cleaning mode because they're trying to protect their job. Because the second story that came out today is, as of now, Joe Sheen, the GM of the Giants, is safe. But he's now on the hot seat, and I could see a scenario where he gets fired.
I mean, he's 100% getting fired.
No doubt. So I could see a scenario where the GM keeps the coach because firing a coach raises alarm bells, and you think, we're going to turn around, and you convince ownership to just give you more time. It's got to be job security, but logically, if I was an owner, if I was whoever, hey, we have a top five pick. Hey, we're the Jets. Are you keeping Aaron Glenn next year to coach Mendoza, to coach Ty Simpson? I think Aaron Glenn's got to get run. I know that Vrabel is a unique situation because Drake May is a second-year quarterback. Robert Kraft and co. saw quickly, this isn't working between Drake May and I forget even who it was. Gerard Mayo. They let Gerard Mayo go. See you later, buddy. Sorry. Goodbye. That's what you got to do. It's cold. It's harsh. It's calculated. But you can't let lame duck coach quarterbacks.
Coming up in a little bit, Cole DeRusse is going to join us on the show. He is with How About Those Chiefs. In the meantime, let's talk about this fight that continues to exist between Google and ESPN. So for those of you that don't know the backstory, let me give you the real, real quick backstory. Right now, YouTube TV is the second largest cable provider in America. They are currently not offering ESPN, ABC, Disney, Viacom products. They are at a little bit of a discrepancy about how much Google should be paying Disney in order to have the rights to broadcast those channels. They have been fighting about this for now 2 weekends, last weekend and this weekend. A lot of people thought that the Monday Night Football game that included the Cowboys was going to get a deal done because people, regardless of how you feel, they want to watch their Cowboys. That time has came and went. Now this Monday night, we got a really important Monday Night Football game. It's two of the best teams in the NFC. It's the Packers and the Eagles. We're talking about two marquee storied franchises. One, major television market. The Packers, not a major television market, but everyone would agree a true national brand that they have created over the last 35, 40 years or so. People care about these two teams. People care about this game. People really want to watch this game. But the two sides have been unable to reach an agreement. So let me tell you this. Maybe you didn't know this. That's why I'm here to help you. Right now, YouTube TV, they are offering a $20 credit for not having these channels, which is the right thing to do. But you know there's always a catch, right? There's always a catch. You would think that this would just quite simply be an automatic credit, is what you would think. Hey, I pay $85 a month for YouTube TV. Well, because I didn't have ESPN, which is one of the more popular cable channels, I didn't have ABC, I didn't have Disney Channel, I didn't have your incredible library. Now it should just be $65 a month. No. That's not how they did it. They still charge you for the $85, but you have to go on their website and apply to get your $20. Google has really tried to play themselves off like they're innocent in all of this. Hey, we're doing our best for our consumers. They've really sold it as Google is trying to pay a fair price and ESPN coming in, big bad monster, and coming to just take away your football games. Google, you're nasty too. And I think Google's issue, Rob, is for one of the few times they don't really have the leverage in this situation. Regardless of how you feel about ESPN, it's not going anywhere. It can't go anywhere. They have too many things. They are going to broadcast the Super Bowl coming up this season. They have the college football playoff. They have Monday Night Football. So maybe you don't watch ESPN programming. Maybe you don't watch First Take or ESPN Live or any of these other things, right? It is impossible to watch sports without watching it with ESPN. I know it, you know it, and they know it. So right now they're going to Google and they got the gun out and the bag and saying, give me all the money. Google's fighting back, and I appreciate them and understand that they're fighting back. But when you had a chance to really be the good guy, and we all know what's going to happen. Everybody is not going on this website to apply for this automatic credit. Everybody is not doing this. Come on now. You know that's the case. How many times have you signed up for the 1 month free trial and then just forgot? And then they charge you the full price anyway. You're like, oh man, oh, why didn't I set my timer? I should have forgot. Google is playing off the fact that so many people are quite simply going to forget, and now you can pocket that money. This is nasty work from Google too. I know they're trying to play this moral high ground, like they're the good guy and they're on our side, but no, for a company like Google that is worth trillions, not billions, trillions of dollars, you could just give everybody the $20, right? Just give everybody the $20, or just charge people less for the month. Hey, we normally run your card for $85. We're going to run it for $65 until this thing's resolved. That's all you had to do. But no, no, no. Google out here being sneaky. Rob, let me ask you this before our guest joins us on the show. When do you think this is resolved? I only bring this up because we were talking about this. Inspector said, you know what? I haven't missed it that much. I don't think I need ESPN. And then I asked him, I said, do you plan on watching the college football playoff? Because they have the first round of it. They have the second round of it. They have the national championship of it. So yeah, maybe you're not missing it in the interim. At some point, there's going to be a game that you really want to watch. If you're a KU fan and you want to watch them play North Carolina, or you want to watch them play Duke in the Champions Classic, or you want to watch them play UConn, you have to watch it on ESPN. They really got this thing figured out. Eventually, Google is going to have to bend the knee, and they're going to have to come back to an agreement with them.
I don't know this gets done in 2026. In 2025. I think it's done in 2026. I think, now listen,
I'm telling you right now then, if you were telling me people will not be able to watch the college football playoff, that might be the end of YouTube TV.
I think what's quietly happening, and a top text here says it perfectly, my father broke down and bought ESPN Unlimited so he could watch football. I think that's what ESPN's doing. I don't think they're advertising it. I don't think they're telling people that. I don't think they're having parades in the street about it. But I think what ESPN is doing is twofold. One, they are churning the PR machine to make everyone hate YouTube and Google. And two, they are quietly on the back end getting people to go to ESPN Unlimited. Hey, do you want ESPN Unlimited? There's a solution to your problem when YouTube is at fault. Because Bob Iger, the president of Disney, is going to be on the Manning cast tonight. You've seen Pat McAfee at every turn. You've seen the College Game Day guys, SVP. They've all put out PSAs. Hey, we want to be on YouTube TV. Contact them. They're holding us back. We want to be with you. As this goes longer and longer, people will break down, and they'll buy the ESPN Unlimited app, and ESPN will make their money on the back end. And I think as the college football playoff arises, you'll start seeing advertising everywhere. Hey, if you have YouTube TV, come get the app, and then you'll get to watch our games. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, this has just been going on for 2 weeks, and I just don't think ESPN. I think ESPN is just going to wait YouTube TV out. There is a group of people, a large group of people, that if this is not resolved in a very, very short time, they're going to cancel YouTube TV, and they will never come back to YouTube TV. You will never be able to get these people back. You have already signed them up. For me, I've only had one internet cable provider. I've never used Hulu Live. I've never used Sling or Fubo or one of these other channels. I mean, I'm almost at my wit's end too. Now, I'm a little bit different. I got multiple TVs, so I can just pull it up on the computer or pull it up on the stream. But I told you guys last week, I don't need to go through UFC pay-per-view kind of work or Pacquiao Mayweather kind of work to be able to watch Monday Night Football. That's not what I pay $85 a month for when it comes to YouTube TV. Bro, I just want to watch it. I want to watch it on my television. I want to watch it in 1080p like I pay for. So please fix this. Again, I don't care whose fault it is. I just want somebody to fix it. Anybody, fix it. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of mine. Today, we are going to highlight some of the great content creators out there who support the Kansas City Chiefs. My guy, Cole DeRoos. He is with How About Those Chiefs. Check out his YouTube channel. Cole, how you doing today, my man?
Carrington, what's up, bro?
Doing fantastic, man. Cole, are you a subscriber to YouTube TV?
Yeah, I've been hearing you talk, and it's unfortunate because I tried to watch Monday Night Football last week, and I did not know what to do. I ended up watching it on NFL Plus on my phone because you can only watch NFL Plus on your phone or tablet and watch a game live. So that's how I watched Monday Night Football last week.
So a lot of things I want to get your opinion on. Let's just start with this. I made this list. I think these are the five best teams in the National Football League as we currently sit. New England, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Seattle, and the Rams. Do you agree, disagree? Is there a team outside of my top five that you would put into your top five?
Sam, one more time.
The Patriots, Colts, Eagles, Seahawks, and Rams.
Nah, I mean, I'm pretty much right there with you. It's a very weird year. I think heading into the year, we would not have said, yeah, the Colts are going to be a top five team. I think we were optimistic about Darnold, but based on how he was at the end of last year, we didn't know that the Seahawks would be what they are now, and I'm happy for him and his resurgence. But yeah, I don't think we would have also had the Chiefs out of the top five right now either. So it's a very weird season, to say the least.
So I've been asking people this question. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. If you had to set a number between 1 and 10 on the Chiefs winning their division. So 10 is, I am incredibly worried about it. No chance they win their division. 1, you're not worried at all. Where would you kind of set your panic meter? What level are you at right now with the Chiefs heading into this matchup against the Broncos?
Yeah. You should ask me next week, because I think that's going to flip it one way or another. I'm at like a 4. I'm optimistic, but you have to beat the Broncos or your chances are very slim that you're going to win the division for the first time since 2015.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, Cole, as just a – the Chiefs just always seem to win this kind of game. Like, if you go back to their track record, I don't know if you can find a game in Mahomes' career over the last 8 seasons in which they had their backs up against the wall in the division and the Chiefs didn't win. I know it was a little bit later in the season, but this feels like this game that they went on the road against the Chargers where Kelce had the walk-off touchdown. That's probably the last time that you were even remotely worried about them not winning the AFC West.
Yeah, and they're coming off the bye, which is helpful. I know the Broncos are kind of coming off a mini bye, weird game there against the Raiders. You have to win this game, and I mean, that D-line is the real deal, so Josh Simmons will be a big question or a big piece of that. If he can play, I hope he can. And then Juwan Taylor with the ankle. I think if you protect Patrick Mahomes in the trenches, he's just shown you time and time again, he can pretty much do whatever if the line holds up and you're coming off of a discouraging loss to the Bills where he was pressured quite a bit. I know a lot of those came after 2.5 seconds, but still you had Trey Smith not healthy, not completely healthy with the back. Juwan Taylor left at the end of the third quarter. Simmons wasn't there. You had Jalen Moore. And I think Kingsley even got banged up a little bit. He came back in after just missing out a play. But yeah, the trenches, that's the key for me in this one.
Right now, we're talking to Cole DeRoos. He is with How About Those Chiefs. Cole, I said a couple of things that I want to see the Chiefs after the bye week do is I want to see them go back to getting Tyquan Thornton involved in the offense. He just hasn't been involved in the offense the last handful of weeks. I also want to see them expand Breshard Smith's role. I know what Pacheco is in this offense. I know what Kareem Hunt is in this offense. I don't think we know what Breshard Smith is. And if they want to try to get more out of the run game, they got to try to get more out of him.
No, I agree with you. Thornton is interesting because Mahomes was kind of forced to look his way a lot. And it was wildly impressive. He was a camp standout, but impressed even more on the field because what Patriots fans told you about Thornton is, oh, he's going to disappoint you in actual games. But he kind of did the opposite. He was phased out once you had Worthy and Rice back. And I kind of agree with you. I think Thornton has shown he's a legitimate deep threat and should be on the field a little bit more. I think his snaps went up last week a little bit too. So I don't know if some of that's just scheme dependent on how these defenses are playing, but agree with you there. And then Breshard Smith, if you're not going to play Elijah Mitchell, we're not sure if Pacheco is going to be healthy or not. Why not give the guy with the most burst and juice in the room a little bit more opportunities? I understand he has 1 year of experience under his belt in college as a running back, but that guy has the most juice and it's not even close. So yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I hope we can and hope we do see more from Breshard Smith and Thornton as well.
Last thing here, if I gave you Drake May or the field to win NFL MVP, which side are you taking, Drake May or the field?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he's on an MVP trajectory. I think if he keeps the pace going, he's got a legitimate case for it. I know I'm not answering your question directly, but it's not even because I have some weird disdain for the Patriots for them scarring me my entire childhood or anything like that. But if he keeps playing at the level he's playing, it's going to be hard to deny him the MVP.
Yeah, I just feel like this is what the league does. Like, he's having a really good season. He's in his second year. If they end up winning that division, he puts up decent numbers. I just feel like there's going to be a push to give him the award.
Yeah, and yeah, I get what you're saying, too, because, like, Josh Allen, you could have maybe made the case that Lamar Jackson could have had the MVP last year. But yeah, you're right. There's optics involved with the MVP. And even if the Chiefs went on a huge run here and Mahomes went crazy, if Drake May keeps playing at a high level, I mean, Mahomes has already had a couple of those. So Yeah, it's very well could be the case there with Drake May and the Patriots. And unfortunate that it seems like they have another franchise quarterback after just a few years of what they did with Brady being away.
That is Cole DeRusse for How About Those Chiefs joining us on the show today. Be sure to check him out on YouTube. He is an incredible content creator. Cole, man, I appreciate you.
Hey, man, ever since I was years back just starting my channel, you've always been grateful and jumped on the channel and talked Chiefs with me. So, man, I appreciate you, and I'm honored to be on here.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you, man. That is Cole DeRusse joining us on the show today. Happy to have him on there. Rob, which one would you take? Would you take Drake May or the field right now?
I would take the field because I think Matt Stafford can still win the award.
Okay. Do you think Mahomes can?
No. I think Mahomes' chances are gone. I think Mahomes is not the MVP this year.
I think it's crazy. It feels like so many of these questions about the Chiefs are in a little bit of a standstill until I know what happens on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say that Mahomes is out of it, because if Mahomes throws three touchdowns and no interceptions against the Denver Broncos, I think he is back to being the favorite to win the award. I just think, as much as we talk about this, it is a quarterback plus narrative award. I also think it's a storyline award as well. I don't think that Josh Allen was the best quarterback in the league last year, but it's a good storyline, right? Lamar's already gotten them. We can't give it to Patrick Mahomes. It's his time to win NFL MVP. I would say there is nothing more that the league wants to do than create another new star at quarterback, especially in that next generation. You've already built Patrick Mahomes up. You've built Lamar up. You've built up Josh Allen. This is like WWE. You got to create new superstars. You can't just live off The Rock and Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels. You got to create new superstars. And they are currently in the business of creating one when it comes to Drake May. We'll continue the quarterback conversation coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I can acknowledge that this is one of my soapbox issues. Every person that does my job, or a form of it, has their soapbox issue. Rob, you remember a couple of years ago, we were always advocating for more player freedom. And I would specifically look for ideas and topics and segments that we could just poke at the NCAA. Well, now that the players get paid, I don't bother them anymore. I've left them alone. And I have now moved on to my next cause, which is to expand the idea of the most valuable player. Now, did you guys know that over the last 7 years, there has only been one vote for a player that was not a quarterback in the MVP conversation? It was Cooper Kupp in 2021. Over the last 7 years, only one person who votes on the MVP had the ability to see who the actual MVP was and vote for that person. Now, I understand. Because we call it most valuable and the quarterback is the most valuable position in sports, we just automatically assume that only that position can win the award. I am here telling you right now, I do not care about that, because we all know who the NFL MVP is, and we just need to acknowledge it. It's Jonathan Taylor. Did you guys watch him yesterday? Rob, 32 carries for 244 yards and 3 touchdowns. They won that game, not because Daniel Jones was their quarterback and he played well. They won that game because Jonathan Taylor is on their team. He's averaging 6 yards a carry. He has 17 touchdowns. It's November 10th. We could be talking about Jonathan Taylor scoring 30 touchdowns this season. And you were telling me that we can't see any scenario, any way in which Jonathan Taylor is the most valuable player in the National Football League. Come on now. We got to expand our minds. So if I got to be the only person that stands on this island, I'll do it. I told you guys a couple of years ago I thought Christian McCaffrey was the MVP. It doesn't always have to be a quarterback. Sometimes it's obviously a quarterback. Back in 2018 when Mahomes threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, it was clear he was the best player in the league. But if I ask you right now who's been the best player in the National Football League, you wouldn't tell me it's Drake May. It's been Jonathan Taylor. So give him the award. If that has to be my soapbox issue, then fine. So be it. But Jonathan Taylor should be number one for MVP voting right now.
So here's my thing. Isn't that what the Offensive Player of the Year award already is? We already have the award you're discussing.
Who decided this, though? That's what I'm asking. Who decided this?
The voters, when they realized the V in MVP stands for value, and there is no position that carries more value, maybe in sports, than quarterback.
I know,
it's
but
like
I just,
the Davey O'Brien award
I just
now.
Feel like we say this blanket statement, and we're not acknowledging the situation. If you took Jonathan Taylor off the Colts and you replaced him with other good running backs, I don't think they would be in this position, but you could take Daniel Jones off of the Colts and replace him with a lot of other quarterbacks, and they would be in the exact same situation. I think the Colts would be in the same situation if they had Mac Jones as their quarterback or Mike Jones. Who? I think they'd be in the exact same situation. I don't think they'd be in this situation if they took off Kareem or if they took off Jonathan Taylor and put Kareem Hunt there or put Rico Dowdle there. I don't think they'd be in the same spot. So for that team, their best player, their most valuable player has been a running back. He might be the best player on the best team. That's how we usually give out these awards, right? Hey, we're going to give it to the best player on the best team. Well, this season, the best player on the best team might just be a running back. So why is he ineligible to win the award?
He's not ineligible. He's just held to a different standard. It's the standard of you have to be so exceptional that your value somehow shines beyond a quarterback. I also think, we talk about this a lot in the show, MVP is very narrative driven. Why have the Colts, the average person, we don't have to get in the nitty gritty of why the Colts went from laughing stock to good in 1 year. The average person doesn't say, oh, it's, you know, all these elements, the schedule game, this, that, and the other. The average person says their quarterback play improved. So they're not going to say, wow, Jonathan Taylor went from good to great. They're going to say their quarterback play went from just awful, which was last season, to really, really just fine. So he doesn't even get the credit for the turnaround because the average fan is average voter points that credit to Daniel Jones. So then he can't win the MVP, which is why Offensive Player of the Year award exists. That's the whole point of Offensive Player of the Year, the best non-quarterback.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's a branding issue then, because it sounds crazy to me that you can play offense, you can be the most valuable player, but then we acknowledge in another award you weren't the best offensive player in the league. It's just goofy to me. Let's fix the award, or let's just start giving it to the right people. You know what? If they had an MVP award for broadcaster, you know who I'm giving it to? I'm giving it to Gus.
Mendoza in trouble. It's out. Touchdown. Wow. A rock play. Unbelievable.
Did he get his foot down?
And rolling in the touchdown.
Control.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness, it's a touchdown.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not telling you that I think Gus Johnson is the best broadcaster. I think that's Kevin Harlan. But I am telling you that if it is 3 minutes left in a close ball game, and there is only one broadcaster that I could nominate to do the call for that game, there is only one person that I am picking. We have heard some incredible Gus Johnson moments. We really have. We are fortunate enough to say that we live to watch Michael Jordan fly through the air. I've seen LeBron do the chalk toss. We've seen Mike Tyson strike fear into other men's hearts. We also got to live during the period of Gus Johnson. And if you were watching Indiana Penn State, you got an all-time call. That's what you got. That's up there with go crazy, folks. Go crazy. That's up there with, do you believe in miracles? Yes. It's one of the greatest calls in the history of sports. That man's a living legend. When you see that play and you hear his enthusiasm, just give him the Heisman. Of course. Absolutely. This show appreciates Gus Johnson. We acknowledge Gus's greatness. A-plus call, Gus Johnson. A-plus call. He's the best. I'm telling you, there's not a single broadcaster. If it's 3 minutes left and you know it's coming down to the wire, I want Gus in the call. Over Buck, over Harlan, over whoever you want to suggest. Rob, give me a fired up Gus Johnson and an all-time moment. I put him up against anybody.
I mean, he definitely exudes enthusiasm. I will credit him there because you're right. He did say just give him the Heisman. He also made a lot of noises.
No, he didn't say it like that. You got to say it the way he said. Hold on. Look, I got to play it again. Listen to this.
Mendoza in trouble. It's out. Touchdown. Wow. A miracle play. Unbelievable.
Did he get his foot down?
You didn't cut the part in where he said, just give him the Heisman.
He's not saying words for a long stretch.
I know, because you want to know why that moment couldn't be described in words. That's why. Somebody said Sean McDonough would like a word. I do like him. I am a Sean McDonough fan.
Sean McDonough is fantastic.
I think he's good.
I think Joe Tessitore is good, too.
He's good.
They always straddled Tess with a bad game.
For sure.
It's like, hey, we got the third level SEC game. Go make it work, Test. You're like, oh, that's too bad. He gets Auburn versus Vanderbilt, but he makes the most of it.
Do you got Harlan number one on the power ranking?
Across all sports?
Yeah, like right now, if there is a big game and there's only one person you can nominate for the call, I think that Harlan's the best person that can do it.
Yes.
You know who I think number two is? I like Ian Eagle. I'm a big Ian Eagle fan.
Ian's really good. I think Noah's pretty good, too, his son. If we're going to cross sport, I think Mike Breen is really good.
I'm with you.
Bang! I think Breen's really good. Yeah, Ian Eagle. You know, under the radar one, Brian Anderson, who does college basketball games. Brian Anderson's good. I think he does something in Milwaukee full time. We actually live in an era where there's a lot of good ones.
It's because, sure.
I mean, unless you have YouTube TV, there's a lot of sports on television.
You know what, though? They ain't Gus. We're going to continue saluting some of the Chiefs content creators. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.